The Tshuvas of the Maharami Rottenberg. There's a bunch of different editions of the Tshuvas of the Maharami Rottenberg. So this is in the Prague edition in Simon Lamed Gimel. So there the Maharam says that he has a Kabbalah from the Gaonim that if a Jew owns the bread, Jew owns all the ingredients going into making of the bread, and everything is done by the guy, and the Jew takes no part in the baking of the bread itself, so the guy, all the bread is usher. He doesn't really explain why, and that's the way he leaves it. And it's cited also by the Sefer Eshkol in Simon Kofnun and Rashi in the Sefer Amor. Sefer Ora says that the bread is treated as bishul akum. I mean, we don't just treat it as some sort of pas that has a chumrah attached to it. It's as if we are looking at something that was cooked by a goy, and it's not considered like bread, and there's no heter of pas palter. But again, no reason seems to be brought by any of the Rishonim for this gzeira, for this halacha, when it comes to the status of this bread. It's brought the halacha by the Torah, and here in the Shulchan Aruch, that the pas belonging to a Jew that was baked by a guy is going to be usher. But if there's any sort of Jewish involvement, as we know, so then the bread's going to be fine. So there are two reasons brought in the Achronim. The first is brought by the Lavush. So Lavush writes here in Sif Yud, in Kuf Yud Beis, that it's considered as it has Isser Shlakos, it's considered as if it is actually Mamish Bishal Akum, and he says that essentially it has to do with Kirv Hadas, so we don't want the Jew to get too close to the guy, and since the Jew had no involvement here, we have a Chumrah here that we don't want either the owner of the bread to get too close to the guy, or any other Jew to get close to this guy who baked the bread, and therefore we put a penalty or a Chumrah attached to it, that because of this issue of Kirv Hadas, that there will be some form of emotional connection between the two. This is also what the Meiri writes on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis as well, just not as clearly, but this seems to be what he's saying as well. That is reason number one when it comes to the Isser here regarding the bread owned by a Jew. The other is the Shach. The Shach in Sifkat and Zion says that there's no heter because it's a penalty. What should have happened is that the Jew who owned the bread should have essentially known that, hey, this guy is making bread. I have to have some sort of involvement. I have to put something in the oven or heat up the oven, have some sort of involvement in making this bread. And as a penalty for being lazy or not being involved in the baking of the bread, we penalize them and said that we're going to treat this not as pas palter, as some sort of bread that's baked by a baker, or going to be machmer. It has the actual din of bishul akum, and there's no heterim apply as well as a form of penalty. So these are the two reasons brought to explain what's going on here in the Shulchan Aruch. This is the halacha brought by the Pri Chadash and the Pri Megadim, the Chacham Asadim, the Chalkos Binyamin. Everyone says that this is the halacha without question, that we're machmer. There are two mekilim that I don't think we rely on, but we should be aware of them. The first is the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer here in his comments in Sif Katan Aleph says that Jewish-owned bread baked by a guy is mutter. And he says there's no difference between this and pas palter. The Rambam isn't mechalek. The Rambam doesn't bring this idea of that if the guy bakes the bread owned by a Jew. So he says, what's the difference between this and pas palter? There should be no difference at all. And therefore the Chassam Sofer says, if we're going to follow the Rambam, which we do, there should be no difference. And therefore, the bread should be fine if it is Jewish-owned bread baked by a guy. In addition, the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Chaf Tes seems to have this approach as well. These are the two Mekilim, but this is not the Halacha. We follow the far majority of Achronim, who are machmer in this area. This brings us to the tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes in Yeridea, Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Hei, regarding a bakery. So a Jew owns a bakery, and he has workers in the bakery, and he doesn't do anything. So in this case, says Rav Moshe, because it's very difficult in a very, very large bakery, not a regular bakery, but a palter gadol, says Rav Moshe, a very, very large bakery, for the Jew to be able to be involved in every single aspect and to control everything. So he says, in this case, there's no penalty, and you can rely totally on nachri bakers, and it would become pas palter, it would not become bishul akum. It wouldn't become it wouldn't be pas Yisrael, but at least it wouldn't be bishul akum and it would become pas palter. This is the kula that one is relying on when you buy Jewish-owned bread from a Jewish company which runs a very big factory and all the goyim are involved in the process of it. We don't consider it Pas Yisrael. We don't consider it Bishul Akum, but it's rather in the middle, being Pas Paltzer. This is the Shita of Moshe. Rav Vosner disagrees, not in his Chuvos, but in the Kovetz Beis Levi, which is the journal put out by his yeshivas. On the Kovetz Beis Levi, in Yoni Yerodeh, on page Mem Ches, he says there's no Heter at all, and he's Cholok on Rav Moshe, but I think the minhag is to be make it like Rav Moshe in this regard, which brings us to the comment. Yeah. He doesn't really measure it, but it has to be significant, where we would not expect that the owner would be able to be everywhere at the same time to be involved. It's a big commercial bakery versus a regular store bakery. That's certainly the difference. The Erech Shai in Kufya Beis here says that if you have a shutfus, if you have a joint venture of a bakery owned by a Jew and owned by a guy, so then that would become an issue in this regard. And since there's partial Jewish ownership, all of the penalties would apply. And therefore, if you had a small bakery in which it was partially owned by a Jew, so then that one would have to be careful. That would be, the bread would be considered Bishul Akum and not just Pas Paltzer. So based on this, Rosh Shlomach writes in the Chuvos Hanagos L'Chelek Gimel, in Simon Shin Pei Vav, regarding having shares in a company. So, for example, let's say you bought shares in Entenmann's, okay? I don't even know if that's possible, but let's just say Entenmann's was traded on the market, and you could buy shares in Entenmann's. So now, technically, it is now Jewish-owned bread, because now you own a small portion of Entenmann's, and that essentially would require us, perhaps, enter into this machlokas, whether it be Mekel like Rav Moshe, or Machmel like Rav Vosner. Would this become an issue with the issue of Bishul? So Rav Sternbach invokes generally the normal principle that we use when it comes to dealing with corporations, whether it comes to issues of ribbis and corporations, or companies being owned on Shabbos. So the general rule is as follows. If your piece of the ownership is not important enough that you could change some way that the company is run, or some type of make a decision regarding the production of the food itself, so then we don't really care for you. It's very nice that you have shares in the company, but your opinion is worth absolutely nothing. And since your opinion is worth absolutely nothing, it's not considered Jewish-owned enough to affect how we would change the company. So, if you own shares in Entenmann's, and you call Entenmann's up and say, well, I'm a shareholder, I own 5 shares of Entenmann's, I really like it that you make the desserts in this type of way, and the lady on the end of the line of Entenmann's says, thank you very much for your phone call, but have a nice day. So you do not own enough of Entenmann's in order for it to become an issue. But if you are a significant shareholder where you can affect how things are done, so then we would enter into this issue. Yeah. It's similar to issues with Basra Chalav as well. But we'll try to be more machmer there for other reasons, but for another time. Next, how baked does the bread have to be? So in Sif Katan, in Shulchan Aruch Yud Beis here, so it says that if a guy bakes the bread without the participation of a Jew, even if the bread already had a skin and started to get crust in the outside of the bread, so any additional heat the Jew adds will help. Anything you continue to do the process will be helpful. And then he quotes Yesh Omrim, who say that even if the bread was removed from the oven, the Jew can put it back in to bake it more. So the Bir Agra here writes in Sifkat and Chaf Hei, he says that once the bread is cooked to Michael Ben Drusai, the Jew can still continue cooking and baking in order to turn into Pas Yisrael. And the Darchei Shuv and the Aruch HaShulchan are Mesupak, if the din is if the guy places the bread back in and the Jew adds more wood. Would that be considered enough as well? Let's say the second time around you add wood to the fire, would that be helpful? The question was asked before regarding a toaster. So let's say you buy Pas Paltzer, and you take the bread and you stick it in a toaster. So is that considered enough of Jewish involvement to take something out of Pas Paltzer and to turn it into Pas Yisrael? If that was the case, so we would have a tremendous kula, and everyone would always be able to have Pas Yisrael, because you would just buy a cookie from the store and stick it in the oven, and then you would have Pas Yisrael. So nobody seems to say this. Rav Shechter said that it was not considered, would not be considered Pas Yisrael. There could be the differences if it's perhaps still within the baking process. Maybe that if I have bread that's in the oven and then I take it out while it's still hot, it's still warm, it's still internally the bread is still cooking. So maybe there the leniency would apply. But if it's already cooled down and it's now considered normal to eat as it is, so then perhaps the idea of cooking it more would not help in that regard. Next, there is a discussion regarding sharing bread. And we'll see in a second, the discussion is not entirely L'maisa, but let's just see what the Shulchan Aruch says, and we'll explain why it's not L'maisa. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Sifyut Gimel that if a person is eating paspalter at the home of someone who is...
Let's say a person likes it, fully cooked, person likes it
for... No, not enough. Not enough. So, if the person's eating a person eats paspalter, and they're at the home of someone who only eats pas Yisrael, and there's paspalter on the table, which is of better quality than the pas Yisrael, which is of not good quality, inferior quality. So the halach is that the guest and the baal bayis can eat the paspalter together. And the Aruch HaShulchan says it only applies to a guest, not a family member. And the Taz brings the sheet of the Trumas HaDeshen, who says that if the host is by himself, and he has a good quality paspalter with him. So the host is by himself, and he has good quality paspalter. So he should eat it instead of the inferior pas Yisrael. And then he quotes the Bach, who says that this only the guest can be lenient with the paspalter, not the host, but not vice versa. Now, this whole discussion is very interesting, but it's not really lemaisa, because the Mishnah Berurah writes in Orachaim Kuf Samaches, in Chaf Aleph, where there in Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch pretty much repeats this entire halacha when it comes to halachas of making a motzi. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that this entire discussion regarding with the baal habayis and the paltzer and they're eating together and they're separate and they have different breads, so that only exists in a place where the baal habayis always cuts bread for everyone. But Bizman HaZeh, nobody does that. When you go to your friend's house for a barbecue, so he doesn't, you know, make hamotzi on the hamburger roll and then give out hamburger rolls to everyone. Everybody takes their own bread, and therefore this only exists in a society where everyone eats of the same bread that was cut. But nobody does this anymore. And therefore, this entire halacha is halacha, but it's not lemaisa because everybody eats their own. And therefore, in that case, the person eats their own bread, so then you should follow your chumras. You should follow your chumras because it's not one person making a motzi for everyone. Yeah.
What about on Shabbos?
So, Shabbos, you have to have paspalter anyway. You have to have pas Yisrael anyway. So, it shouldn't be lemaisa. Anyway.
People are mafkir to have pas Yisrael on Shabbos. It's not... I mean, it's brought down, but I don't think it's necessarily everyone holds that.
I don't know. I think most people have pas Yisrael on Shabbos.
How often would you have a situation where you have someone else's Shabbos and they have their own challah?
It's a very odd situation. He has pas paltzer and you have pas Yisrael for Shabbos. It probably wouldn't come up. So.
The only time it would come up is if somebody, sometimes people have like celiac or something.
Special bread, so they have to eat it anyway, and nobody else wants to have their special bread. So anyway, the lines have already been drawn. Okay, the next discussion is in regarding the issue of the kutach, this mixture of milk and bread, whatever this thing is. It usually comes out by Hilchos Brachos as well. So the Mechaber says that kutach is not pasakam, even though there are little pieces of bread inside of it. So the Shach writes in Chaf Beis that there's no reason to be choshesh for the chalav akum that's in the kutach. And the Taz explains that kutach is made from curds, and the milk of a behemoth tmeya doesn't curdle. It's not omeid. That's what the Taz says. This is the klal we have. And therefore, it's impossible that the milk in the kutach could come from behemoth tmeya, because the milk of behemoth tmeya does not curdle, and therefore you would know for sure if the guy tampered with it or not. And then he goes on to compare. Maybe it's similar to butter. It's not similar to butter. So the Taz asks another issue. He says, the Gemara Masechet Mem Gimel says that kutach is metamtem the lev. There's some sort of spiritual negativity that comes with eating kutach that would not be properly kosher. So he says, let's say it's batal. Everything in the kutach is batal. So if you're going to tell me that the milk is batal, so then how is there timtum alev if the milk is batal? So he says that in reality, kutach is asur, but it can be made mutter if it's made with kosher milk. So the whole discussion regarding maybe the kutach has tummy milk, it's not kosher milk, he says, that's fine, but that's not the kutach we're talking about. We only eat kutach with kosher milk. So the Nekudas HaKesef writes on the bottom, in responding to the Taz, that the recipe for kutach has changed over time. In the times of the Gemara, they had this type of kutach, and now we have a type of kutach where the milk is not visible anymore, and therefore totally batal, and therefore you would never know, and that's the end of the discussion with kutach. Next, certain leniencies, the Shulchan Aruch ends up here discussing a number of leniencies that apply to Pas Akum that we should be aware of. The first is the Shach. The Shach writes in Sifkat and Chaf that the klal is, when it comes to Pas Akum, is Safek Derabanan Lekulo. So if you ever have a Safek regarding Pas Akum, one would be Mekel. He says, let's hear him a Supek, whether a Jew turned on the oven. You don't know whether a Jew turned on the oven, so then perhaps that would be a place to be lenient as well. This is cited by the Aruch HaShulchan. Some of the Acharim note that's only if you are Mesupak, if you turned on the oven. If you don't remember if you turned it on. But if somebody else is Mesupak, then maybe that's not considered a place to be Mekel. The Ramah writes in Yudalid, and he's quoting from his own comments in the Torah Sachatas, that when the Pas Akum gets mixed up with other things, so it's Batel Barov, whether it's Zavar Lach, whether it's Zavar Yavesh, since we're dealing with the Dindar Rabbanan, but you can't be Mevatel it on purpose. Obviously, we're not Mevatel Israel Chachil, even by Dindar Rabbanan, and this is brought by the Chachmas Adam. So in the Torah Sachatas, the Ramah adds that this is the case even to Davar Chashuv, you have very, very Chashuv bread that would not necessarily be batal. So here as well, it would be batal. This is brought by the Shachir in Sifkatan Chaf Gimel. However, the Darkei Tshuva says that it's only batal if the Guf HaPas is not nicker. And that would mean that if I took bread crumbs and I added them to a mixture, so then if I don't see the bread crumbs anymore, so now it would be fine. But if I took bread crumbs and I turned up afterwards, let's say it was pas akum, and I still see the breadcrumbs, so then they would not be batel if I can still see the breadcrumbs as well. So says the Darkei Tshuva. Next, the Prima Gadim at the end of Bas V'chal Ben Terubas has a whole essay called Hanhagos Hanishal B'Isra V'Heter, in which he discusses how the Rav is supposed to paskin, the different rules when it comes to how to paskin the Shaila. So there, in his Hagos of answering Shaila and Isra V'Heter, in Seder Gimel Os Lamed Zayin, he says that Pas Akum or Bishal Akum does not create Chanan. Does not create chaticha nasas nevela. So that would mean if I cook something together in a pot with pas akum, and then it had blios, and then I put it into something else, so you'd only measure the blios according to the bli itself, and not the entire thing that would be thrown into the pot. Another kula that comes along with it as well. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Tes Vav says that if someone is makanam pas Yisrael, he can eat from the same plate as someone who eats pas palter, and the Ramah says the person who is makbid can eat pas palter with others, it'll be a problem of Eva, that, you know, people will get upset with each other. Yeah.
Didn't we say that pas palter is only us, or only it's even batel barov, it doesn't need initiation?
Correct.
If that's true, then for sure Hanan doesn't apply. Hanan only applies with Tom.
So let's say I cooked something that had rove of pas akum, right? And I pulled a piece of that thing out, and then I threw it into a pot. So then I wouldn't have to measure it against that second piece. I only have to measure it against blios of the pot.
But the blios is tam by definition. Batal barov means that the ikur is batal, but the tam is still there. But we just bypass akum. We don't listen to the tam. But the whole idea with chanan is that the blius of if something gets the blius of a thing, it turns it into the sochaticha itself.
Okay.
But if we're not listening to the blius anyway, then for sure.
So we're talking the case of rove. When there's rove pass, the blius will go in.
Rove is the ikur, though.
Of course there's blias. No, for sure there's blias.
Yeah, for sure there's blias, but just don't listen to it because it's batel barov anyway.
No, in a case where the pas is not batel barov, so there's no so there would be a problem then.
Right, there would be a problem because of the ikur pas. It's mostly pas akum, so for sure it would be aser. Not because of the blias, but because it's mostly pas.
No.
Mostly aser.
If I take a piece of meat, yeah, and I stick it and I cook it together in a mixture that has pieces of pas akum, so the meat will now have blios of pas akum in it. Right. And I pull the piece of meat out. So now the meat the meat is mostly meat. It's meat. And the meat will have blios of pas akum in it. And
if that's not a terobis, though, because you can easily differentiate between the meat and the pas.
No, if I cooked it together, there are blios of the pas. It goes into the meat. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Okay, we got to go move on. The Prima Gadim continues, and he says that Bishal Akum and Pas Akum don't make... He says that Pas Akum, the Prima Gadim holds that Bishul Akum and Pas Akum don't have Blios by Kalim. Now, this is not held by everyone, but for sure, the Poskim say that when it comes to Pas Akum, we don't find Blios. So if someone made Pas Akum in a pan of yours, so then you wouldn't have to kasher the pan. That's one shita based on the Prima Gadim. The Chalkos Binyamin quotes from the Ginza Yosef, who's Machmir, that there are Blios, and the Darkei Tshuva is a three-way steer. In one place, the Darkei Tshuva says it's Mutter, in one place he says the Blios are Atzer, in another place he says it's a Machlokas. Since, obviously, we're dealing with Dindarabanan, we have a big Machlokas Aposkim, so when it comes to Blios of Pasakim, certainly there is room to be lenient if someone made bread, if a guy made bread in your Kalim. The last thing is the issue of traveling. How far does a person have to travel to get Pas Yisrael? So the Shulchan Aruch says that if someone is Makon on Pas Yisrael, you should travel up to Dalid Mil for Pas Yisrael. And the Ramah says that when you're Bederach, you can be lenient. So this leads us to the great Machlokas when it comes to measuring distances. Do we measure the actual distance, or do you measure the time that it takes to go that distance? So first we'll discuss specifically. Let's discuss generally everywhere, and then we'll come back to Pas Yisrael. So Rav Avadya has a tshuva in the Abia Omer in Chelek Aleph and Or HaChaim Simen Yud Gimel, where he says that the minug is to say Tfilas HaDarach when traveling the shear of a parsa, which is 72 minutes. Meaning you wouldn't say Tfilas HaDarach, says Rav Avadya, if the trip is less than 72 minutes. Even if you're traveling more than a parsa, but it wouldn't take you 72 minutes to get that far, Rav Avadya says you only look at the time, you don't look at the distance. This is the shita of the Or Litzin as well, in Chelek Beis, and other Sephardi Poskim. Now, the Mishnah Berurah there in Hilchos Tefilas HaDerech in Simen Kuf Yud, in Sifkat and Lamed, says that when traveling on a railroad, you make the Berachas HaGomel based on the distance, not on the time. You don't look at the time, you look at the distance. Therefore, if your railroad ride would be